Sunday with Miriam on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Travel Department. Explore the wonder of the world's most iconic sites with Travel Department. The world discovered together.
But first this morning, Penny Lancaster. Well, she's an Essex girl, a model, a panellist on Loose Women, a special constable and the wife of the rock star Rod Stewart, who we spoke to on this show just last year before his 80th birthday. Well, Penny has written her autobiography called Someone Like Me, and it's published by Bloomsbury. Penny Lancaster, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us. Listen, you're an Essex girl, and reading the book, it's clear you've a lovely relationship with your parents and your brother Oliver. You'd have a really happy childhood, didn't you?
Absolutely. Loved, supported, which was the key to kind of, you know, anchoring me into the kind of full and happy adult that I turned out to be, because, you know, I went through undiagnosed dyslexia, bullying and then trauma from a sexual attacks when I was younger, and so I wouldn't have got through it without their support.
And we'll come to that now. When you say bullied, first of all, why do you think you were bullied? I know you say in the book you're always very tall. I mean, do you think they picked on you for that reason?
I guess bullies need to sort of single out someone that's a bit different. So one of my differences was not only taller than all the girls, but taller than all the boys. But then, kind of, I dressed sort of differently, I suppose. I spoke nicely. I at the time, I didn't swear. It was, you know, I just had a different manner about me. I mean, I was training to be a ballet dancer, so my hair was always neat and tidy. And so it was just, I just didn't fit in. You know, I wasn't part of a gang or wanted to join in and be like anyone else. So my mum always, you know, said, you know, be your own person. Don't change to turn yourself into someone you're not, just to fit in. And to also think about bullies, look at it from a different perspective. I know that you're suffering from being bullied, but you have to use your empathy and look from the different perspective and understand that there's something going on in that bully's life. Mm-hmm. While they're so miserable to have to kind of eject that sort of unpleasant behaviour onto somebody else, there must be something upsetting going on in their world. So it did sort of help.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned there, obviously, there were a couple of really disturbing incidents, Penny, and you write about them in the book. One happened when you were only 12 and on your way to school. Do you mind telling me briefly what happened to you?
Yes, I mean, I obviously go into it in great detail in the book, but it was a later morning. I'd been in a choir service the night before with the school. So they allowed those that were in the choir to go to school later. So I was travelling to school alone. And like normally, I'd be with a group of friends. And I had to travel under an underpass to get across a dual carriageway to get to school. And I was followed by a man who attacked me. I got back to school afterwards and reported what had happened, as I was understandably very distressed. And the police were called out. And I was 12, but it later was found that, you know, my description of the man, I was one of the oldest girls that had been attacked by this sort of similar character. And I was sort of a key witness, but sadly, he was never found, and so justice was never had.
Mind you, your teachers, your parents, the police, they all took it very seriously, didn't they? So do you think that was a help to you in the end in dealing with it?
It did help, the fact that I was believed and I was taken seriously. And the police did all they possibly could. But, you know, unfortunately, sometimes there's just not enough evidence to sort of locate that particular perpetrator.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned there you're dyslexic. You didn't know until much later in life that you were. And I think it wasn't diagnosed when you were in school. So did that make school extra hard?
Oh, it made it extremely hard, because I was eager to go to school and learn, but I just couldn't learn the same way as everybody else was learning. And it wasn't recognised at school. It was just like, if you can't learn this way, then you can't learn at all. And therefore, I was sort of dismissed and put to the back of the class and ignored, and just assumed that I wouldn't make anything of myself if you don't pass exams and you can't flourish in society sort of attitude. Mm-hmm. And that grew an enormous amount of fear for me. And it was, you know, I felt like I was bright and I was well behaved and all of that, but I just couldn't get along in a lot of the classes. And reading out loud was one of my absolute real terrors. And, you know, so English was most problematic for me. So the idea that I've now written a book and did my audio, so actually had to read out loud to produce that book, was what, you know, been sort of quite an accomplishment for me, I must say.
Was that difficult?
It was really difficult. I was so anxious. I wasn't sure I'd be able to complete it, but you know, I was given enough time to do that, and it's certainly a different skill set.
That's great. Now, listen, you got a place, I think, when you were a beautiful 17-year-old into the London School of Fashion on a modelling course. Was London huge fun for you at that stage and that age?
Well, it was, yes, 16 coming out of school. And, you know, as I say, I was sort of written off as far as any other job I could go into because I didn't have that many, you know, school exam results. But they said, well, you're tall and pretty, you could be a model. And so I was sort of directed in that area, and it turned out to be like a great avenue for me of expression. And yeah, a 1 year modeling course, you learnt about the fashion industry, you learnt accounting, like the whole manner of kind of being professional out there in that medium of work. And yeah, how exciting this, you know, being in the middle of London and the fashion district. And it was a wonderful year, and then straight onto the modeling career from there, and where I flourished and then eventually ended up in front behind the camera as a photographer.
Now, you write in the book, Penny, about a horrible experience you had with the client. I totally understand if you don't want to go into the detail, as it could be triggering. But I think it looks like your drink was most likely spiked. He assaulted you. You didn't report it to the police that time, Penny. Why do you think you didn't do that?
Well, I think at 17, going into sort of crossing over into adulthood, I felt like some kind of responsibility on my part, and I felt there was an element of shame, and I should have known better, and it was my fault. So when I was in that position, I took it all on to myself, and I didn't tell anybody what had happened, not for a very, very long time. But finally, when that Me Too movement came, and a lot of women were coming forward about their experiences and saying, yeah, that happened to me too. You know, that's why I wanted to put it in the book, because, you know, as the title says, someone like me, there's so many women that have gone through similar situations. And I think by hearing other people's experiences, it does help you deal with your own.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you met a guy, a nice guy, a London trader called Mickey. You got engaged, but I think something was telling you not to commit to him long term. And then you met Rod Stewart, your husband. Did you know straight away that he was keen on you, Penny?
Well, I suppose you could say I was his type, but I think it went beyond there. I think he, you know, I was very open about the relationship that was very rocky that I was in at the time. And he was just coming out of his relationship. So we were sort of on a similar path in that sense. And we could kind of be there for each other. And it was a very slow burn. I was studying photography. It was a 2-year diploma course. I still had a year to go. So he went off to America and I continued studying in Barking College. So the first year of our relationship was building those strong foundations. And I think that's what really worked for us.
Were you nervous about getting involved with him? I mean, we spoke to him on this show not that long ago, and he seemed such a nice guy. But I suppose he had ex-wives, children, he wasn't yet divorced. Were you worried? Were there warning bells? And also, you were a good bit younger than him.
Well, the way I looked at it is he had experience. And, you know, I was 26 and, you know, I'd been in a long-term relationship, and I didn't know how to navigate myself out of that relationship and what path I might be going on. And he was just sort of there to kind of, you know, as a supportive role, I suppose. And it wasn't a case of like, leave him for me, or you know, it was just he had a gentle touch. He is a gentleman, And of course, his great sense of humour just kind of allowed me to just enjoy the moment and wherever that may take us.
And of course, he's famously close to his own siblings and to his children. Did it take long for his family, his big family, to accept you, would you say?
It did. It did take quite a long time. But I'm very patient, as anyone that knows me. And, you know, as I say, looking at different perspectives, trying to put myself in their shoes, I understood. So I therefore realised that, you know, we all needed time. And eventually time is a healer, and time proved to kind of be the key to it all.
And initially, I think you write about this, Penny, he didn't want more children. But then when you were 33, he changed his mind. And you've got two beautiful boys, Alistair and Aidan. Why do you think now your relationship with Rod, it's lasted a long time? Why do you think that is? What's your secret?
I don't think there's an actual secret to it, in a sense that there's not like a magic wand, and follow this rule book and you'll be successful in a perfect marriage. I don't think there ever is a perfect solution, but I think it comes down to communication and constantly checking in with one another, you know, like with a girlfriend relationship, with any relationship that you have with a friend. If you neglected that friendship, it wouldn't be as strong as it was, and you would lose those sort of threads. Mm. And so it's, you know, a marriage is like that. Just because you get married, it's not the end of making the effort and nurturing that relationship, and you know keeping each other on your toes, and always considering other people.
You're a panellist, of course, in Loose Women, which is hugely popular here. I know you've spoken about your dyslexia and about menopause, which is a big campaign of yours. So was it a big thing for you, Penny, to decide to put yourself out there as Penny Lancaster and not just be Rod Stewart's wife?
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was first asked to be on the panel, so I'd initially been a guest on the show, and it kind of like surprised me to think that people might be interested in what I had to say. But I suppose I'd had a lot of experiences in different areas, and like we've discussed, and how important it is to kind of share your stories with other people, hence kind of the reason for writing a book is, you know, the more you share, the more you talk, the more you help. And so yes, I guess through that show it helped define me, who I was, introduced me to a wider audience, and be able to discuss things on many different topics. And it was when I was going through my menopause, which I didn't realise was happening at the time. You know, my GP thought I was going through a depression, put me on antidepressants. It was the Loose Women that recognised some of the symptoms and said, "You're not depressed. It's the menopause. you need HRT, you need your hormones back."
That's so good, actually. And you're a special constable. When I spoke to Rod recently, he was so proud of that. What does it mean to you to be a special constable? And I think you say it changed you. How so?
Well, I do a lot of charity work, and for me it's very important to constantly give back, and it was an extension. Being a special constable is a volunteer role, so it was an extension of my charity work. You only have to do 200 hours a year. Sounds a lot, but actually when you break it down, it's just one duty a week. I go away a lot, you know, with my family and on tour with Rod, so I have to sort of do catch up before or after those trips. But, you know, I'm so proud to put the uniform on and be out there on foot patrol and sort of try to make a difference. And I think all police officers feel that that's the role they play in keeping the community safe. I love every minute of it. I mean, it's given me so much more back in return than I thought I could give.
When you're out there as a constable now, do people recognise you, Penny?
Not really. I think the general public see a uniform. They see a police officer. They don't really look beyond that. They might think, oh, that's a female officer or a male officer. But they in general, they don't sort of think of the person behind the uniform, that it's a mother or uncle or brother. You know, the people are the police are the people. We're all the same community together, but some people choose to put the uniform on to do that job and protect and prevent crime.
Does Rod worry about you, though, do you think, when you're out working?
He used to worry in the sense that, you know, he'd be messaging me every half an hour if I was okay, and concerned I hadn't got back to him. I'm like, I can't be on my phone during my duty. But and then he got used to that. But he always wants to know that I'm home safe after a duty, for sure.
Now, you write in your book, Penny, about being on Celebrity MasterChef and not liking the way that Greg Wallace treated you and the other contestants. He was sacked from the BBC because of more than 40 allegations, of course, of inappropriate behaviour. Now, he has challenged the more serious allegations, but you spoke about your experience when the claims became public, and Rod spoke about it too.
Yeah, at the time it was during lockdown, and although I thought it was really disgraceful the way he behaved and treated me, I was just as disappointed in the way that I wasn't supported by the team and the production company around me at that time. But, you know, it was like during lockdown, so I felt that there was sort of bigger, more concerning issues going on at the time. And but the sort of underlining concern was the fact that it had gone unnoticed, or that made me feel like this was probably commonplace and this was usual behaviour that sort of worried me more than anything. And it wasn't until, you know, more recently that these allegations came forward that I felt like I needed to add my statement to the investigation just to build a better picture of his character.
And of course, just to add, Penny, you know, Banjay UK, the production company, you know, they always say that while the report makes for uncomfortable reading, highlighting failures in legacy reporting and HR procedures, it also provided valuable insight to ensure that going forward, everyone working in our production feels safe and supported and that inappropriate behaviour is quickly and professionally dealt with. Just putting that out there. Listen, before I let you go.
That would be nice to see.
I know in the book you talk about living in LA and Florida and you moved back to the UK a few years ago, but you two also have a place in Dublin. Do you ever get here?
Oh, we've got to find more time. I mean, we absolutely love Dublin. And, you know, Rod's played in the city many a time and it's a beautiful place to go and have a like a weekend, long weekend breakaway. Yeah, as soon as he's back off of tour, we'll make the time.
And he, of course, sings that beautiful Irish song, Grace, and everyone here loves
Grace,
when he sings.
Oh, Grace, just hold me in your heart and let this moment linger.
Oh, you sing it very well yourself. Finally, Penny, can you believe your life? The way it's turned out. You've pinched me moments when you think about how it's all worked out so well.
Sure, huge pinch me moments. As I say, like from being the Penelope at school that had dyslexia and was told I'd never make anything of myself. And now I have a book out. Full circle.
Well, look, well done you, Penny Lancaster. It's been really lovely speaking to you about your book this morning. It's called Someone Like Me. It's published by Bloomsbury. And if any listeners, by the way, have been affected by any of our conversation, they can go to our helplines, rt.ie/helplines. Penny, thanks so much and best of luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mind yourself.
Bye-bye.